Hi, this is Mike.
And Nathan.
And this is the Third Option Podcast.
This podcast is for individuals who are seeking biblical truth in a noisy, chaotic world of opinions and points of view. Every day we hear politicians, pastors, co-workers, family members, neighbors, and the internet tell us how we should think and what to believe.
Our goal is to give you a third option based on the ancient truths of the Bible. Welcome to this week's podcast. All right, thanks for joining us for another Third Option podcast. This is going to be like our last podcast for a period of time. Mm-hmm. It's summer.
Yep.
Go out and spend time with your family. Stop listening to podcasts for a while because we're going to take a break.
So
this is the last one. Yep. And so we decided, well, I decided, we were going to do a podcast that kind of emphasized a lot of different topics that we've hit out through the year. Mm-hmm. And we were going to go back to politics to talk about politics and kind of Christian views of government. Now, none of these topics, we aren't going to go really deep into any one of them. So you might have arguments. And you know what? If you come back and you don't like what we said, we'll do a full-length podcast for that individual topic.
There we go.
All right, so I'm going to start out with the basics of what the Bible teaches, mostly what the New Testament teaches when it regards Christians living under some governmental system. I would use the phrase like a secular governmental system, and you'll kind of see why in a little bit here. One of the first things that comes up is that we need to live good and godly lives among men.
Mm-hmm.
So the Bible teaches us that we need to honor all people and the king and leaders. And the word, this goes back to our first podcast when we said honor the president.
Very first
one. Yes. And really what that meant was to treasure the individual. All right. So we're also supposed to do good for God. And because of this, like if we're doing good, No one's going to be bugging us. The authorities won't be coming after us. Nathan, what is some takeaways?
All right. So some things that we were kind of taking away from those passages from before was that we were talking about how sometimes Christians struggle to show honor to the presidents that they oppose.
Yeah.
And so they'll see a president get elected, and that president they don't believe, you know, is doing right things or doing moral things or what have you. And so part of the struggle is you want to, you know, really slam, you know, that president.
Yep.
Really, you know, instead of honor, you want to show them as garbage. You know, you want to paint them as if they are the Antichrist, as if they are the worst person to have ever been born. You know, usually Hitler has to be associated with the name of a leader.
Every current president is associated with Hitler by one of the parties every time.
And so, so I think they call this demonizing, right? Where you try to paint somebody as like the worst person who's ever been.
Right.
And so we see this in the Christian church as a struggle to show honor, which is like the complete opposite end of that, right?
Yeah.
That you are showing the president or whoever your leaders are, you're treating them as of great value. And this can be pretty difficult. I mean, especially when you have very, you know, when you have bad leaders. But again, we were kind of talking about back when we originally did this episode with the president, that we were talking about how, you know, Nero was one of the emperors of their time and how evil he was in killing the Christians and using them as lanterns and stuff like that. And, you know, if they're writing this in that time, you know, surely, you know, our leaders, as bad as you might think they are, it's not there yet, right?
Right.
You know, we are definitely not to that place. And so surely we can show honor, you know, to our leaders, to the leaders of the secular world.
Well, then we got to remember, too, Barack Obama was the greatest president in the world, according to 50% of the population. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump is now the greatest president in the world, according to 50% of the population. Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay? This is very subjective, based off of your worldview and how you mm-hmm. think the world's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And I remember, yeah, just, you know, you go back to 2015, and it was just this complete hatred or this complete love. And it's no different than today. It's just the other party's in control. And you know what? By 2024, the other party's going to be in control. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you read these verses, read 1 Peter 2:14 through 16. You know, read Titus, the letters. You're going to see a lot about how we're supposed to just be good citizens. We're supposed to be good people and represent Christ.
Non-rebellious.
That's right.
I think we talked about this in the quiet episode.
Yep.
Talking about the passage means, you know, when you're to be quiet and live a tranquil life. You know, this the idea there was to not be rebellious people. You know, are we being a rebellious people that are constantly like, no, we're going to overthrow whoever this group is, you know, and take over. Rawr.
Yeah. And it's so easy right now. I mean, the people I hang out with are probably more conservative. So they're all about honoring the president right now.
Yeah.
They are. You know, they get mad because they're like, I can't believe these people don't honor this president. How dare them treat them the way they do? And it's like, did you guys hear yourselves of like 4 years ago? Because I don't remember you saying these same things, okay? I don't remember seeing the prayers on Facebook for the president, you know. Yeah. We need to pray for our leaders. Yeah, that wasn't being said in the church.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the next, like, a next point I would say for how we're supposed to look at the government, we are supposed to be part of God's holy nation. Mm-hmm. Jesus says, our kingdom is not of this world. And so we're supposed to be part of a greater kingdom that no one is actually born into. We're reborn into this kingdom through Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, what was the episode we talked about this in?
Because I remember we did the kingdom episode. Okay. We talked about God's kingdom and how we're supposed to be part of that kingdom.
Yeah,
and so we're supposed to be citizens of heaven, which is part of this kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And while we're waiting here on earth, we're waiting for the return of the king. The king is going to return and be over this kingdom. Mm-hmm. And we're just sitting here waiting. But as of right now, the kingdom still exists.
Yep.
I mean, we're all, as Christians, united in this kingdom.
Yep.
And this kingdom is something that we should be more united in than even our own earthly kingdoms.
Yep. Yeah, the kingdom's talked about by Jesus is both now and is to come. And so we are part of that kingdom being proclaimed here now, but then its fullness is going to come when Jesus returns. And we need to make sure that we don't get sucked off track proclaiming a worldly kingdom that is in the end going to be destroyed.
Yeah.
Right? And that, according to our beliefs indicated in the Bible, there's only one kingdom in the end.
Yeah, it's the eternal kingdom. Yeah,
it's Jesus' kingdom. All the others, you know, will be destroyed.
Yes. Yeah.
And so be careful what you invest your time and life in.
Mm-hmm.
Are you investing your life in a kingdom that is of this world that's going to pass away? Or are you investing it in the kingdom that both is and is to come?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we also need to be careful how we defy ourselves. We shouldn't defy ourselves of where we were born, our status, our lifestyle, our race, our sexual orientation.
Mm-hmm.
We should defy ourselves who we are in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
There is no Republican. There is no liberal. There's no conservative. Yeah. You know, there's no
Christ
Democrat.
Christ alone.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Christ alone is the only way we should identify ourselves. And that's part of this other nation.
Mm-hmm.
We also, it says in Scripture that we are to be like foreigners to the Gentiles, which this is kind of a weird concept because we value a lot of where we were born.
Mm-hmm.
And as we are part of this nation, you know, like we are Americans and we stand on the truth of what America is, the Bible's kind of telling us to become outcast or the foreigner.
Yeah. Yeah, we're supposed to be citizens again of a different kingdom,
yeah,
right? And that we're seen as like sort of sojourners, mm-hmm. so people who are foreigners,
yep,
right, living in a foreign land.
Yeah.
So in Christianity, it wouldn't make much sense to have nationalism mm-hmm. of a worldly kingdom, right?
Right.
We might have patriotism towards
yeah.
a, you know, Christ's kingdom, but it wouldn't make sense towards a worldly kingdom.
Well, we definitely have some benefits to our nationalism, I'll say that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have benefits of being Americans and the freedom we have mm-hmm. and the life we have. And I always look at the prosperity we have and how we could use our prosperity for good. We're the mm-hmm. country, one of the most prosperous countries ever in the history of mankind, and we probably should take advantage of that mm-hmm. and to be helping the world. Paul took advantage of his...
Yep.
The fact he was a Roman citizen all the time, taking advantage of it.
Mm-hmm.
However, he didn't put his identity in that yep. he was a Roman citizen. He put mm-hmm. his identity in Christ at all yep. times, and he was killed for it.
Yep.
All right, the next point is that God has established rulers over us. You see a lot of rulers, and one thing they're not is they don't seem like people of God.
Yeah.
These are rulers that, even though somehow God has established them,
mm-hmm.
they've been elected
mm-hmm.
or they came in by power. I mean, not mm-hmm. in our country, but around the world, they come in by power. But mm-hmm. There's something clear in scripture that these, like the authority was given to them by God
mm-hmm.
to rule over us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we see this with just even like, even Jesus had to face this because mm-hmm. people asked him like, who do you serve?
Yeah.
And Caesar's, you know, mm-hmm. even who's on this coin,
yeah.
and it's like, it's Caesar. And what was his answer? Is like, render to Caesar what's Caesar's, but render to God what is God's.
Mm-hmm.
So this was obviously kind of something they had to deal with even in their culture. We don't mm-hmm. we don't look back and say, well, Caesar, he was, you know, he was a great, you know, a
yeah.
perfect
yeah.
moral leader, but mm-hmm. God put him in that place at some point, and yeah. just like the presidents of today.
Mm-hmm.
So we are to obey our, you know, rulers. However, there's also the caveat to know that we're still supposed to obey God's laws mm-hmm. and God's commandments
yep.
over our rulers.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that can be difficult too,
oh, yeah.
because you hear people make arguments to say, well, if this, you know, I've heard like the tax argument, like, well, what if my taxes were going to something evil? Should I not pay my taxes then? Well, the problem is there's a lot of scripture to say, just pay your taxes to the government. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's very clear, just pay your taxes, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was one of the more clear examples of how do we interact with the government. Is pay your stinking taxes,
mm.
regardless. And Jesus is making that clear here.
Yeah.
Is like, just render what is Caesar's. Pay, if mm-hmm. Caesar's asking for tax money, give him his money.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not in control as to what happens. You know, that responsibility lays on the stewards,
yep.
who are supposed to be doing what's right with the money.
Yep.
And they'll be judged, you know, by God in the end. As to what they did with what they were given.
Yep.
But yeah, you're to pay your taxes.
Yeah,
and pay your so, taxes. Yeah, that part is especially hard for us, is to be like, what?
Yeah.
You know, that's what...
They're doing a lot of evil with that money, yeah. and it keeps getting worse
well,
and worse.
Well, just we don't like to pay taxes. I mean, just that part alone
that's
is like...
money, yes.
Is kind of, I think, the reality of it is...
Yeah.
You know, they want certain people who are going to lead so that they can have lower taxes, right?
Right?
Tax cuts, right? That's a big part of certain political parties.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
so that's why they're liked. It really doesn't. I think the what if the money goes to something bad is really like their argument. But behind the argument is the real reason, which is I don't want to pay taxes.
Right.
Yeah. I think ultimately it's a selfish thing of like,
yeah.
I want as much of my money as I can.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so, you know, well, you're to pay whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
If this is the tax, you got to pay the tax.
Yep.
You know, even if it's bad,
mm-hmm.
you know. Even if you think, like, well, that's not right. They're taking this much. You know, it probably isn't right, you know, but
yeah.
you are still to pay it and not be like, well, that's it. Rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not going to
yeah.
Not going to do it.
It also says that we're not supposed to resist the authorities that God's appointed. And to do this would be to oppose God himself.
Yeah.
So interesting.
Are we resisting authorities?
I think we've seen that before where people are resisting the authorities, definitely.
Yeah, again, going back to when there's a new political party in office, one half of the group is always, you know, upset.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they're resisting.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's pretty much all politics is one side, it's their turn to kind of take charge of things, while the other half resists until it's their turn to take charge.
Yep.
And then once they get in charge, the other side's job is
pendulum just keeps swinging farther and farther. It's just
crazier and crazier.
It is. Yep. It really is.
And resist.
Because it's like, it's funny because, I mean, the politics I know start from like Bush. Okay, Bush.
Yeah.
And then it's like, the left's like, we need to get someone in there because we don't want Bush. You know, he was the worst president ever.
Yeah.
And then Obama gets elected for 8 years. Mm-hmm. And then the right's like, we need to get someone in there because we can't have anything like this. Mm-hmm. So then Trump's elected.
Yeah.
Who knows what's going to happen next, okay? Because it's this counter.
Yeah.
Counter battles, you know, it's like we're going to counter something even worse and more aggressive than we've ever done before.
Yeah,
eventually this whole thing's going to implode. Like, it's like, what are we doing?
Yeah, because eventually the other group's going to get the.
There is no more moderate candidates. It's just like as extreme as you can get, and that's the goal. Everybody, I mean, you look at the candidates for the next election, and it's like the left's goal is to get as extreme as possible.
Whoever's the most resistant,
yes,
that's the way to do it.
Yep.
You know, so you need to pick the most resistant, the most belligerent, the most crazy, you know, like aggressive person. And it's like, does that match scripture?
Not at all, right?
You know, let's pick the most divisive people.
Yeah,
you know, can. And it's like, I'm not sure that's biblical.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because the next part is kind of the answer to all this. We're supposed to pray for those who are in authority. And I think that the church is probably, I think there's good people in the church who do this, who pray for their leaders. And, it says we're supposed to pray for kings and authorities. And really, once again, it's kind of like the honor thing. We're supposed to do this with all people. You know, we aren't just praying for the people of authority, but obviously they need a lot of prayer. Mm-hmm. They are trying to run our country. Mm-hmm. They're dealing with world disputes, a lot of evil in the world. So we should be covering them with prayer.
Mm-hmm.
So here's just some takeaways of this. We're supposed to, and as Christians, obey the laws of the land.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of going back to that good citizens. But, you know, this is beneficial for us to be obeyers of the law because ultimately we're going to have less, like, strife and less things pushing against us if we're just obeying the laws, being good citizens. We can focus more on the kingdom and what needs to be done to help people, to bring people to know the Lord. And so, you know, and that means all things, you know, if you have a heavy lead foot, you know, be careful. You're going to start, you don't want to be losing your license or being someone who's known of, I don't know, like just, it just comes down just to obey the law. It's kind of like pay your taxes, obey the laws. Unless they conflict with scripture, and you see that in the book of Acts. You see Peter, he's standing out. They told him to stop speaking about Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. He obviously disobeyed them, and he ended up in prison for it, in jail. And you see that all the time throughout the early church history, is they're always disobeying. Though when you're proclaiming Jesus Christ, well, You might get thrown in jail for it. In our culture, it's probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
However, around the world, you'll be killed for saying those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So my fourth point is it's not our job to be moral lawgivers outside the church. Now, this is probably pretty controversial. A lot of people want to, it kind of goes into the idea of like, should we legislate Christianity? And that's a question you got to like ask yourself, is that important to do or not?
Mm-hmm.
But really, like, this goes back to an old podcast. We're supposed to seek justice for Christians. Through Christians, we seek justice and not through the secular courts. That's like the first part of this. We talked about that with suing, this idea like Christians don't take people to court.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And yep. Christians are supposed to settle things on their own. And if you're wronged as a Christian, so mm-hmm. be it.
Yep.
You know, we're going to be wrong sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens.
Yep.
Titus 3:2 says we should not align ourselves with men. And, you know, like we shouldn't be aligning ourselves with the secular culture and the evil ways of the world. We need to make sure we keep ourselves within the boundaries of the Word of God and within the church. A big one is in 1 Corinthians 5, it talks about how we're not supposed to judge those outside the church. This means that we're supposed to keep the judgment within the church, mm-hmm. as in we have the right to judge each other. Yeah. If you're proclaiming Christ as your Savior, you are now under judgment of the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
So that is how we live our lives.
Yeah.
But that means we got to be careful to not judge somebody outside of those bounds.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it says that God will judge those who are outside.
Yeah.
Right? That God is going to do that. And that we should, you know, stick and take care to those who are in our Christian mm-hmm. community. And so, because it's kind of weird if you're projecting, you know, your belief, like, of course you should mm-hmm. know this.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you're dealing with, I mean, think of the whole world, like the whole non-Christian world. They think and believe all kinds of things, and, you know, they don't know what you believe and don't yeah. understand it and all that stuff. Now, there's nothing wrong with going out and explaining what you think,
mm-hmm.
why you think something's
yeah.
wrong. That's
yeah.
that's completely true. But, you know, to actual pass real judgment. So the church does have this ability to pass mm-hmm. real judgment upon its members. That, you know, then mm-hmm. that's kind of like an intimidating thing. But that doesn't really happen so much in the church anymore. Yeah.
People say, I don't go to church because I don't like being judged. Yeah, it's like, that's part of being part of the church.
They got that ability. Your leadership does.
They're all a bunch of hypocrites. It's like, well, kind of, but yeah. And there is the plank in the eye, okay?
Yeah,
if you're living in a certain mm-hmm. type of sin, you have no right to judge somebody else in that same thing.
Yeah.
However, if you've repented and turned from those ways, you can help somebody mm-hmm. else get through that by judging them. That's part of Christianity. Mm-hmm. It's part of being a Christian.
Yep, to correct and
make
sure things are going the way they should. Yeah, and so there, you know, for us as Christians, there is, you know, a judgment system that can happen with the leadership upon, you know, its members. However, you know, to do that to the world, they're not part of the Christian community.
Mm-hmm.
And so that wouldn't make sense.
Now, if the world's coming at Christians and trying to tell us how to think and believe, we have the right to defend what the Word of God says.
Tell them that we reject this and stuff like that.
And I think that's, you know, our last podcast about homosexuality, there's that right there. That's what happens, is they're mm-hmm. trying to tell us what the Word of God should say or what they want it to say.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we don't conform to what they're saying, then we're a bunch of hateful people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have to disagree with that
mm-hmm.
because we're going to stick with what the Word of God says.
Yeah. Yep.
So, another issue with this idea of like not being the moral lawgivers outside the church, you know, the church has a lot of power. I mean, there's 200 million Christians in America, well, claim to be Christians in America. That's over 2/3 of the population are claiming to be Christians. And there's 384,000 churches in America.
Wow.
That's just America.
That's crazy.
So
there's so many.
Wouldn't you think, like, if we were more united within the church, that there'd be so much more power to actually see change in people's lives? Because mm-hmm. if it was done on a discipleship level or individual level, we would never have to worry about going to our government to try to change these things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think the wicked world, they're always going to be doing bad things, and there's not much we mm-hmm. can do about that.
Like,
as much as, you know, there's evil in the world, there's always going to be mm-hmm. evil, but the church can be the change by mm-hmm. their actions.
Yeah, we can be the light of the world.
Yeah. And sometimes I think a mistake we make is we try to legislate this secular world and tell them to be like us, which is never going to work in the end.
Yeah, it was tried before.
Yeah.
And Prohibition is an example.
There we go,
Christians led this movement that they were going to, you know, get rid of these vices in society, and then it was going to become
good. It's a constitutional amendment.
It was
literally banned.
Yeah.
That there was prohibition against alcohol. And next thing you know, if you look, there's another constitutional amendment to ratify that amendment, which was a couple years later.
It created organized crime. So, you know, Al Capone and all them, when they got their big heyday, had it not been for Christianity. You know, they had good intentions. It's understandable. Sure. You're seeing all these vices destroy people's lives through alcoholism and things like that. And you're seeing what it does to people. And so you think, well, gee whiz, if we could, outlaw alcohol, then that would fix the problem. And to me, that's a poor understanding of what the Bible says about humans. Right? Because it would seem that you underestimate human nature, don't quite understand what the Bible says. If this people group is an unredeemed people group, right?
Yeah.
Still living in their sin nature, they're going to find a way, right? They're going to find a way to keep doing these things, right? Just because you make a law doesn't mean that they're going to change. And I think sometimes we think, well, they should think like us, right?
Yeah.
So this makes sense. You just kind of take this thing out and then it'll all be better. And unless they change, right? Mm-hmm. Unless they turn and become a Christian and, they put away these sinful natures, they repent of these things.
Right. Yeah.
If those things aren't happening, you can legislate all you want and it's not going to mean anything.
Yeah.
People, I mean, this is part of the problems in the secular world, is that they do make rules and laws all the time trying to fight off the evils that happen in society, and they can't do it.
Yeah.
Because people will always invent a way to get around it.
Yeah.
Because that's what you do when you're living in sin nature. You know, you don't
see. Yeah, there's been some bad attempts. I'm thinking of, like, how they pretty much medically castrated people for homosexuality at some point.
Yeah.
You know, which is really sound, it's kind of an evil practice because if God hasn't changed them, of course they aren't going to.
Yeah. They thought they could fix it by force.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of examples like that. I mean, I don't know why. Was it called a chastity belt like they used to have?
Okay.
Like literally it was something they would put on.
Yeah.
I don't remember why I remember this, but they put it on like a woman, making it for she could not have sex, you know, and it was like a forced way of stopping someone from doing it.
Yeah, forcing people to do the right thing never works out.
No, it doesn't.
You need redeemed people.
And that's why I say, like, man, if there's that many Christians in the world and we were all like, just, we cared so much about these lost people, these people who are in sins in the world. We should be, as individuals, reaching out to them, and I believe there'd be a lot more change than this idea of, like, hey, we're going to elect this politician, they're going to go to...
Especially the passion behind it, to me. It's like, as passionate as people are for politics, what if they were as passionate about discipleship?
Yeah, yeah. Like your neighbor?
What,
like,
what if you didn't think, like, I'll throw my vote in, and then that way I'll fix everything? What if you instead went and discipled somebody?
Yeah.
If that 384,000 churches, those 200, I don't know if it's really 200 million. But,
I don't believe it.
Say they went out and discipled one person.
Just one person, yeah.
You know, and say they did that, I don't know, every 2 years or something.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, there's your change.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, which strategy is really going to work?
Mm-hmm.
Is just throwing your vote in every so often, which, by the way, it seems like they never actually do what the Christians are wanting. No, you know, the reasons that they're doing that, like, it's going to change this year. You know, it's like, okay, it's never changing. But that strategy versus actually going out and making disciples, which one's actually going to produce real good fruit?
Yeah, and if you actually... If you were ever discipled by somebody, you know the strategy works to be discipled, to go disciple. Mm-hmm. We know that's a working strategy. Yeah. The problem is
I feel like we got that from God or something.
I think so.
Maybe it does work. God, I don't know.
Something about this discipleship, and we're supposed to do that. But I mean, how many times have you, like, seen a elected official, like, go, you know, they get to Washington yeah. and you're all excited because they say mm-hmm. they have this big plan yep. and they're going to, and then, like, it comes to the vote yep. and they vote the other
yeah,
way.
Yep. Uh-huh.
And it's like, wait 1 second. This was your big push. But some reason we're so stuck on, like, this.
We've got the majority this time. Yeah. It's all going to change.
Yeah, you'll have the majority. You'll literally have the House, the Senate, and the executive branch.
Yeah.
And somehow then all these big issues fall off your radar. And you
nothing
don't about
happened
it.
Again.
Yeah.
Wait another 8 years.
That's right. Yep. And then, though, when you lose power, then you're all passionate again yep. about the same issue yep. and you want to bring it to vote because mm-hmm. it's like you.
Yeah, maybe we shouldn't pass our responsibility off to some secular leader.
That's
right?
exactly right.
Maybe we yeah. should own up and do what we have been put in charge to do, right?
That'd be a good idea.
We've been commissioned by God to kind of go do something, mm-hmm. and maybe we should go yeah. do that. Maybe we should stick with God's plan instead of just playing some secular game.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't understand it. I don't understand, you know, why that part, which is actually in the Bible, is not done.
Yeah.
But the part that's not in the Bible is the thing that people are very zealous for and very impassioned over. And it's like, man, I wish Christians could get that way about God.
Yeah. That'd be nice.
You know, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, because they do get excited about mm-hmm. politics.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so I wanted to, these are some questions that people ask about Christians' involvement with government. And this first one's kind of funny, but I've heard it said multiple times. And if you go to any conservative website and read the feed, this is said all the time. Can you be a Christian and be a liberal? So I think it kind of stems because liberals support, like, same-sex marriage and abortion.
Yeah.
And we would say those are two uh-huh. kind of big topics in the mm-hmm. Bible that God would be against.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, and this is not to be too disrespectful to our president, but these are some true things. He's cheated. He's lied. He stole. And he's... According to his own words, he's unrepentive, okay? He says he's never asked for forgiveness before to God. Okay, those are words. This is, you know, these are things we could verify with him. And conservatives do support this man. So, should we be judgmental towards someone, you know, if they claim to be liberal or conservative? Mm-hmm. Or should we be using that as a basis to judge their Christianity?
Yeah, man, so I could see that maybe conservatives' pushback would be like, well, you know, people in the Liberal Party probably have cheated, lied, yeah. stole, and they're probably unrepented too, or don't even believe in God, mm-hmm. something like that. You know, and then, yeah, so anyways, so I'm sure there's probably some pushback that, like, hey, it's not just us, it's other people too.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, like... yeah, as Christians, you know, in supporting these two groups, I mean, as this culture gets more and more, like, post-Christian, right?
Yeah.
Returning back to its old, you know, pagan roots, you know, it's really harder and harder for me as a Christian to stomach, like, what the secular world does.
Mm-hmm.
And then hearing Christians try to justify it, right? Because
mm-hmm.
it's slowly, you know, you're not quite to Nero yet, but, you know, you're entering into that world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the way people behave, you know, is very unbiblical. And then as a Christian, you're saying that I support, you know, these people. And it's like, as a Christian, you know, how do you support these people, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Do these people, like, in what way do these people reflect your values, you know, as a Christian? To me, that's always my struggle, you know, in seeing this. Like, this is just a completely unbiblical world.
Yeah.
You know, why don't we instead speak into the world or say, you know, hey, this is what we believe,
right?
You know, instead, it just seems like, well, we're going to support these people, yeah, regardless of, you know, how they do or who they mm-hmm. are or what their behaviors are or what yeah. they're like as a person. you know, it seems like somehow we can shut that off. And it's like, yeah, you know, that's how that person is, or whatever, it's mm-hmm. fine. And it's like, well, as Christians, that I think we've talked about this before, like this gets reflected onto Christians, right? In yeah, Christianity,
it does.
When you enter into this. And so people then look, well, this is who Christians choose. Mm-hmm. So what does this say about their beliefs?
Right.
You know, and the reality is none of what the secular world's doing reflects, honestly, our biblical beliefs. Mm-hmm. They don't at all.
Right.
And so this is really bad and really shames and dishonors. And I think we talked about carrying the name of the Lord. Mm-hmm. I think we talked about yep. that. And not to do it in vain. I think yeah. that was the episode on this. And how, you know, are we dragging God's name through the mud by entering into this, you know, cesspool of, you know, conduct and saying, well, you know, this is the least dirty person. You know, like yeah. What sense does that make? Like,
and that's really
this person's not as evil as the other one.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the dilemma of Bill Clinton in the '90s, and one party was defending his, you know, his adultery, mm-hmm. and the other party was talking about how terrible could we have a how could we have a president who's committed adultery? Okay.
Next look at how know, far we progress right. as a society.
We now yes. have a president who was pretty much yeah. a billionaire.
Brave
who,
new world.
Who his wife was once a Playboy
yeah.
Model, I believe, mm-hmm. who's been in pornography and everything. Okay, so that's how far we've came.
Yeah.
And I think both sides have their good and both yeah. have their evil. But really, it's kind of the whole point of like our podcast here is mm-hmm. there's a third option.
There's a third option.
There's
people.
A third option.
It's the Bible.
You don't have to pick a party, and it's hard. And just look at throughout history, both parties have committed evil. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, who I choose as my leader would be Jesus.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a person yeah. you can really look up to. And
people just rolled their eyes at you. It's really, of course,
come
you said
on.
That. Everybody would say that.
You have to yeah. pick a secular ruler.
Vote for Jesus. I'm going to put that on the ballot this year. But yeah, I think though it's wrong for us to say like, okay, the liberals, because truthfully, we all need to be in Christ. Like, that's mm-hmm. number one. And we need to be praying for both parties, if we have political parties, that they do make wise decisions mm-hmm. and what's for best for people and not for themselves. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you hear about a party, yeah, I think there's going to be ups and downs of parties throughout history because they change. Mm-hmm. The Republican Party or Democratic Party, you know, 80 years ago is a completely different party than it is today. And they're mm-hmm. going to continue to change based off what the culture is demanding and asking. Mm-hmm. So, and that's, you know, that's also what you're going to have to deal with if you pick a party is, are you going to accept everything that party believes? Mm-hmm. And you see that sometimes. You'll see a politician who will go against their party, and next thing you know, now that politician is considered somebody who's an outcast to yeah. society. And it's like, okay, but why were they doing that? Well, they were standing for their principles. The principles you said you believed in,
yeah.
they stood for them, but they went against something that, you know, like the president. Yeah. And so in your mind now, that person's bad. Mm-hmm. Well, you have to check yourself now. So you bought into the party. And if someone goes against that,
yeah.
it's just, it's kind of like you're really in the gray area if you stand too
like,
much
so
into these parties.
The party has like an authority in a Christian's life. Like, right. this is starting to enter, like, real danger. I mean, not starting. It is entering into real dangerous ground.
Yeah.
And this is, like, one of the biggest concerns is that people share, like, two authorities.
Mm-hmm.
They share the political authority, which is of a completely secular making.
Yeah.
And they share in a biblical authority.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you can't serve two masters.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's pretty big ramifications for trying to serve two masters.
Yeah.
And I don't think we really take what we're doing with our lives seriously sometimes as Christians, like really thinking about the choices that we're making and what you're entering into. You know, these are things that we really should consider and really think about carefully. You know, what am I doing right now? Mm-hmm. What bandwagon am I jumping on? Why am I just jumping in with this tribe of people? Mm-hmm. Right? What? Why am I getting sucked into this?
Yeah.
Does this reflect Christ? Is Christ really being the authority in my life? Or is there two authorities in my life? You know, who am I really listening to right now?
Yeah.
And I just think things seem to be getting real crazy. And, you know, as Christians, we really need to have these conversations about, are we just getting sucked into the world? And the world seems like they're going into a real dark place in the United States right now. And are we really willing to get sucked in with them? Or are we supposed to be a light in this darkness?
Yeah. And to do this, sometimes you have to, it's interesting when you're in a conversation about politics and you can tell that somebody really stands for one side or the other. When you step out of that conversation and you see both sides, you have a much greater perspective on what's really being argued. It's kind of like if you've ever played chess before, I used to play a lot of chess. The person standing out, not playing the game, but looking over the board, sees a lot more than, like, it's easier to see the whole, you know, both sides moves if you stand outside of it than just your own. Okay, I could watch two people play chess and I know exactly, I'm like, oh, they should do this, they should move there, they should, what are they doing? But then when you're actually in the game, it's a completely different, like, view of the game than an outsider. You know, and that's, I think there's a benefit of standing outside of these parties and really just standing for Christ. And I think you can have a much solid argument and conversation with people.
Now, would you call that like the third option?
I think
like,
it is.
Like you have the first two. Am I
pitching our podcast? Yes.
You have like the first two options. The third. And then the third.
Yes, the third.
The third option.
So, yeah. Interesting enough. All right, the next question. And this one. How should Christians view the Constitution? Okay. The reason I bring this up is it's kind of always argued, like, the Constitution, we got to look to the Constitution. Here's what the Constitution is. It's a foundational document created to govern the United States of America, okay? It was created, you know, to define the branches of the government, the requirements, powers, and duties of Congress. It talks about how to pass a bill, how things become a law. It gives us, like, the president's duties and requirements. And then that's where we hear about, like, the Bill of Rights, which are the amendments. You know, the first 10 are considered the Bill of Rights. And then after that, they've added amendments throughout history based off of a certain percentage of vote in the legislation. That's what the Constitution is. Okay? So how should Christians view it? Well, I view it as what it is. It's the foundational document created by the to govern the United States. Is it a good document? Well, it obviously is a pretty good document for when it comes to a country. And how it should run.
Yep.
But sometimes it seems like we treat it like a holy document.
Yeah.
Like it's the good document that's better to govern our lives than the Word of God. And so we need to be careful not to place it above the Word of God or even at equal with the Word of God. I mean, it has its place in our society. It belongs here as a foundational document, but it's interesting how much people look at it as almost like it's a holy document. But if you actually read through it, I don't see where they're getting that from.
Again, kind of going back to the idea of serving two masters, you know, make sure that we as Christians aren't getting sucked in to two kingdoms, right? We're only part of one kingdom, and that's Christ's eternal kingdom. And that's the one we're supposed to be out there, you know, fighting for and everything. That's the one we're supposed to be out there striving for, preaching for, you know, going and doing the kingdom work that God has called us to do. And we need to make sure that we're not getting sucked into the world's kingdom, and you know what they're out to do and what they're out to advance and do, you know, whatever it is. And again, yeah, the two like documents, making sure that the Constitution isn't on equal footing with the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The Bible surpasses any human institutions, laws, or anything like that.
Right.
Again, there's only one master.
Yep. All right. This is an opinion question. I don't know if we could even justify this with scripture, but it's just the question: should Christians discuss politics? We get told the two things you can't discuss in society is politics and religion. And to me, the two things Christians should be discussing is probably politics and religion. I mean, what else is there to discuss? I mean, unless you like
the weather,
small talk,
Mike.
I hate small talk. This is the only things I actually care about discussing, and I've been told I'm
today,
not supposed
huh?
to. It's frustrating. So yeah, going just. Oh, Nathan, what do you think? Should we be discussing politics as Christians?
You know, so like things like, you know, abortion. What do Christians think about abortion? Mm-hmm. Or homosexuality? What do we think about homosexuality? Yeah. You know, and what do we think about marriage? Right? Yeah. These are things that are both political, but they also enter into
immigration,
Christianity.
Think? Yeah, and that's really why we made this podcast. In a way, it was like, what's the culture talking about?
Yeah.
What are things discussed in Washington?
Yeah.
And like, all right, well, let's discuss what the third option is.
Yeah, what's the Bible say about this?
So yeah, it's good to talk about politics.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to have a well-rounded biblical worldview to truly understand and to know what God would want.
Yeah, the problem was the only voices were secular ones.
Yep.
And they were defining what the Christians were thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
The Christians were getting their thoughts from either the secular conservatives or the secular liberals.
Yeah.
And then this informed what Christians thought.
Yeah.
And there wasn't really much voice as to, hey, what do Christians think from their authoritative source, which is supposed to be from the Bible,
yeah, right.
Not from two secular government, you know, parties. And so, yeah, that was the reason for the erd option.
Yeah. And I mean, just like last or a couple weeks ago, we had the podcast talking about, how the government tried to do their housing to help out the poor.
Terrible
a job they did. And then we're like, well, the church has a much better model.
There is a third option.
Yes. So there's always a better way of doing things. And it seems like it's never encapsulated. I try to use big words and it's always a nightmare.
You do a great job.
It's never encapsulated within the political parties.
Yeah.
There's like a bad idea and a worse idea with political parties a lot of times. And then there's the Christian idea.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times I think even Christians are so enthralled with these politicians.
We couldn't possibly do anything.
They don't even realize.
It has to be done by the secular world.
I mean, someone like who's very popular today, someone like Ben Shapiro. Ben Shapiro is very logical, has really good arguments. And when it comes to like the court of law, he makes the best arguments.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to Christianity, the guy's a Jew, okay? He doesn't know a lot about Christianity. He's not going to argue what the Bible teaches about Christianity because he's not a Christian, okay?
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, does he have a good moral religious philosophy? Sure, you know, but we need to go to the Word of God for these answers.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
But, you know, if you want to know what the political climate looks like, yeah, you can listen to Ben Shapiro. You can listen to MSNBC. But just don't, like, get enthralled with this stuff, okay? It's it's more of a, we use this to study the Word of God or to...
Yeah, I just don't understand why we go to the place that's the biggest mess.
Yeah.
To be like, maybe they can figure out the problem. You know, like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
We have the Word of God. Like, let's go to that.
Right.
And let's see what to do about the problems of this world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just kind of weird.
It is.
Kind of weird.
All right. take-home verse, 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 2. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Thought that was a pretty good verse to end with.
No, it is. It's a great one. Let's get out there and pray, people.
That's right. So this is it, guys. We're going to take a break. This is our last podcast for a while. Maybe things will change a little bit in the fall. Maybe the music, maybe the themes. But even the ideas, this is the time to throw at us because we're going to start planning for the fall.
Yeah.
So we'll be back in probably end of August, September time, start with more podcasts. Just want to thank you guys for listening.
Yeah.
And
been good.
Yeah, keep it up. Keep fighting the good fight of faith. And thanks for listening to the Third Option Podcast.